This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions, because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And in the same studio, in fact, right across the desk from Charlie, yours truly, Frank Proctor,
the sous-chef
of The Garden Show. Yes, indeed. Here we are in the long holiday weekend, Thanksgiving weekend, so I hope it's going to be a good one for you and yours. Yeah?
Just got turkeys to roast and pies to bake, and then it's going to be great.
Well, bless Shirley's heart. She knew that, of course, Kelly, who is with the police force and all sorts of weird shifts, we arranged to have Thanksgiving for my two boys and the families last Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Turned out to be a gorgeous day, too. Beautiful, sunny, warm day. And so that was nice. But now I got another one to go today with Shirley's daughter and son-in-law come up. Andrea and Martin, and we'll have another turkey. So I'm getting turkeyed out.
Really?
Oh, well, not really. I love the leftovers.
Yeah, I was going to say.
We've had turkey every day.
And now you're heading into another week of turkey.
Exactly.
But, nothing beats a turkey sandwich.
And cranberries. Oh, boy.
But I love a turkey sandwich.
You know, I'm coming down the 404 today.
And?
It's Saturday morning, coming down the Don Valley Parkway, and I'm thinking, where the hell are all these people going? I mean, I know I'm going to work, but what are you guys doing?
That happens to me all the time.
Yeah, you think it.
Where are they going?
Where are they going?
At 8 o'clock on a Saturday morning.
Exactly.
Like, they can't be going shopping. Nothing's open yet. Maybe they're going to work. Well, typically when it's a snowstorm, I get so angry. It's like, people, stay home. I need to be on the road. You don't.
Do you know what I better do? I better give the phone number.
Good idea.
For your show, which is The Garden Show. Here you go. Yeah. Want to reach Charlie and ask a question or offer up something else? That's okay. In Toronto, 416-360-0740. And anywhere in the province, toll free, 1-866-744-740. Our little mantra goes this way: call early, call often, one question per call. And if you happen to be a first-time caller, please let Sebastian know. And when you come to the air, just before you get to the air, you're going to hear that.
Nice.
Get your garden wings. Okay.
Everybody needs those.
Indeed.
And gardening continues. It's certainly not anything looking like winter's coming.
Well, now apparently it's going to be really, really warm today. Feel like 30?
I know.
It's unbelievable.
It was humid this morning. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing weather. But it's the summer we didn't get.
Yep.
I guess it's just, it's all a bit confused.
Not complaining.
But I'm feeling a little sorry for the birds and the bees and the plants.
They're getting confused.
Exactly. Massive confusion. They're thinking winter's coming, but it continues to be warm. Couple of quick announcements.
Sure.
Riverdale Hort Society meeting this October the 11th at the Frankland Community Center, 816 Logan Avenue, just south of the Danforth, 7 p.m. There's a flower show, and Jason Ramsey Brown, author of Toronto's Ravines and Urban Forests. It's definitely going to be an interesting evening, so get to that if you can. Also, same day, out in Scarborough, the Scarborough Garden and Hort Society General Meeting and free presentation by Paul Laporte. His topic, native, naturalized, and invasive plants in Ontario. Refreshments, of course, are included. Guests are always welcome. Doors open at 7 p.m. at the Scarborough Village Community Center, 3600 Kingston Road and Markham Road. And then one more, Ontario Rock Garden and Hardy Plant Society meeting and members plant sale featuring Paul Zammit of the Toronto Botanical Gardens, October 15th, 12:30 p.m. till 4 p.m. at the Toronto Botanical Garden, Leslie at Lawrence Avenue. The plant sale begins at 12:30, speaker begins at 1:30, and honestly, these people they have some amazing plants. So if you're looking for something unusual, so we're talking for rock gardens, hardy plants, typically low-growing, all kinds of really odd and interesting plants you just can't buy at a regular store, it is certainly worth attending this sale at least, which begins at 12:30, and I guess that would be next Sunday.
All righty, my friend. Gee, we've got callers lined up already. Sebastian's been busy in the control room there, including a call from Ottawa, for gosh sakes.
Nice.
That's coming up a little bit later on. Meantime, we're waiting to have a little chat with Sharon and Wes Lauren. We'll be back to do that in moments here on The Garden Show from Zoomer Radio.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, Charlie, my darling, let's head out to West Lorne and see what's going on there. There's Sharon. Good morning, Sharon. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Frank. Good morning, Charlie. Happy
good morning.
Thanksgiving to you both.
Thank you,
well,
thank you very much. What's going on?
Hello, Sharon.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead, dear.
Yeah, I'm calling about a Christmas cactus. I don't know if it was last week or the week before, a man called in about the Christmas cactus, and you said to leave it out as long before, you know, it got frost and that, too, that to dissipate the buds. And I usually bring mine in. I keep checking it in September, mid-September. I usually bring it in about the end of September, so I brought it in about a week and a half ago. I put it in a garbage bag. I spray it, the garbage bag, with Raid, do it up tight, leave it for a couple of days, and then open it up, do it again, and leave it for another couple of days. Now, it's got buds on it about, maybe a quarter of an inch, maybe a little more.
Yeah.
I heard you tell him that to leave it, you know, you could leave it out and that, too, till frost.
Well just to prolong, like, to...
Prolong the buds.
Yeah, put off the flowering stage. Because once the buds are there, they're there.
So I brought it in. Is it okay if I just leave it in the garage?
Oh,
It's cool in the garage. I mean, it's not, the garage isn't heated. Now.
Right.
They don't seem to be growing anymore since I brought it in.
Well, they're going to respond to temperature. So you're right. If the garage is cooler than your home, that will certainly slow down the emergence of those flowers.
Yes.
But is it really dark in your garage, too?
Not really, no.
Oh, okay.
No.
You got some windows or something?
Oh, yes. There's windows and whatever. I mean, it's got light and and that.
That's fine.
You could, it was in the black bag for garbage bag.
Poor thing.
Great, but.
Okay. It'll be fine in the garage.
Yes.
Do check it on occasion. You will have to water, you know, every couple of weeks or whatever.
I do, yes.
And then, you know, remember, when you do bring it in, then it should all start to grow quite quickly at that point. So it just depends when you want to see those flowers.
Yes. Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much, and both of you have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you very much,
and
Sharon.
And happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Absolutely great. What a nice way to start the program.
Yeah.
You betcha.
Sharon's an old friend.
Well, now, wait a minute. My bell-ringing arm needs to get a little exercise here.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, first-time caller Anne in Dundas. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. Good morning to you both.
Good morning, Anne.
Hi. I have... a problem with morning glories. I've grown them for years. My dad grew them when we were kids, and I love them. And we moved into an old house, like from 1890, and I thought it looked gorgeous on either side of the front door.
Mm-hmm.
So we put up these trellises, and I planted them. It grew like crazy, but not one flower. And I just don't understand why.
Okay. No, that's fine. That's a good question, actually. So this is the first time you've planted them in this location?
Yes, because we just lived here about a year.
Okay. So how much sun are they getting on a daily basis? How many hours?
Well, I would say, like, first thing in the morning, they're not, because it's southwest.
But afternoon.
They get the afternoon sun, like like high noon. It's pretty hot in that area in the summer.
Good, because that's one of the things they do need, is a minimum of 6 hours of sun daily. And the only other reason that traditionally morning glory does not bloom, assuming it's getting sufficient sunlight, would be because the soil is considered too rich. There's just too much nutrient in that soil, typically because of fertilizer that's being added to the soil.
Oh, really?
would have thought, eh?
I know, it's funny. I know, some plants, a nasturtium is also famous for this. If you care for it too well and give it water and fertilizer and all those things that we think it's going to want, you have a very green plant. But if it suffers a little bit and it's in a hot sun and it's rarely watered and never fertilized, you'll have tons of flowers.
So should I go out and buy sand? And
well, it depends what your soil is like. You probably have like a pretty reasonable soil that you're in.
You know what? It's a really good soil because when we moved in, it was like I have a beautiful perennial garden.
Oh,
like
nice.
We were blessed to have it with the purchase of the house.
Yeah.
And we wanted to really keep good care of it, so we bought like yards of soil.
Oh, excellent. Okay.
Yeah, lots of it. And I think maybe that soil was too rich.
Perhaps. Yeah, and you know, it will slowly lose some of its nutritional value. The point is, don't add fertilizer.
You're killing things with kindness, is what you're doing.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, my God. I love it too much.
Exactly. That happens. That does definitely happen. So try again next year, but no additional fertilizer and obviously no manure or anything like that into that soil. But plant your seeds. It was seeds that you grew, I assume.
Yeah, I bought them from like a really reputable place here in this area under the beautiful big blue morning glories. They're really gorgeous.
Well, if you still got some seeds, hold on to them, plant them again next spring, but no fertilizer.
Okay.
And don't even water. Like once they've started to grow, just hold off on the watering. I mean, obviously, if it gets really dry, you have to water.
I probably watered it too much, too.
Yeah, too much love, no flowers.
Thank you so much, Anne.
Now I just learned something new. Thank you very much. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
And the same to you and yours there in Dundas.
Thanks for calling.
Well, let's take a little trip now to the nation's capital in Ottawa. Christine, welcome to the show, Christine.
Hi. Hi, Charlie.
Good morning.
Ottawa. I followed you when I lived in Toronto.
Oh, yeah.
I love your program.
Thank you.
You and Frank, he cracks me up.
Me too, actually.
Question is for you. I have two pots of geraniums on a balcony on the 8th floor, and they used to flower. They're not flowering anymore. They were red. My question, Charlie, at what stage should I bring them into my living room, and will they ever flower again?
So did you just move to Ottawa this year? Have you been on this?
I just moved.
Oh, okay. So what direction does your 8th floor balcony face?
God, I knew you'd ask me. I'm so geographically inept. Let me think.
No, that's okay. Which side does the sun rise on? Like, which windows? Or set?
God.
Setting sun?
East.
Oh, okay. So you're facing the morning sun,
right,
and then
exactly.
It sets behind you, behind the building.
That's it.
Right. So the geraniums, of course, want lots and lots of sun, and an eastern location is not the sunniest.
Oh, dear.
So what I would do next year, I mean, for sure you're probably getting to the point where it is a good idea to bring them inside.
Okay.
Though, you know, today's probably pretty mild in Ottawa, just like it is in Toronto. But
right.
you geraniums can tolerate down close to zero, but of course you don't want to go below zero with geraniums.
Right.
So as soon as you see anything, you know, 3, 4, 5 degrees Celsius overnight, get them inside, clean them up, get them in the brightest window you've got, the sunniest, brightest. Get them right in that window.
Will it flower again, do you think?
Yeah, of course. They will. If they can be given optimal conditions, they will flower.
What about a grow light?
A grow light would be probably a good idea inside. But for now, I wouldn't rush into a grow light. But after, like, put it on your Christmas list. Ask somebody to give you one for Christmas. Because after Christmas, as our natural days are getting longer, it would be nice if you could supplement the natural light with extra light.
Exactly.
And that would be the time to do it.
Fertilizing
not until, again, after Christmas. February, March, you're going to try and do maximum light. Fertilizing once a month. You'll probably even want to do a little cutting back at that point because you're going to find the plant's going to be a little on the stringy side, I think, after the winter. So you'll do a little pruning back, around February.
Right.
Extra light, some fertilizer, water only, you know, as required, water thoroughly but rarely. And you should be able to get some buds and blooms to pop out on that.
Thank you.
Okay.
Charlie, I rave about you to everyone.
Thank you.
I say everyone thought, being Charlie, you're a man. I said, she's a master gardener, and she's totally brilliant. Thank you, Charlie.
Thank you so much, Christine. Happy Thanksgiving.
All the very best to you in Ottawa. Nice to hear from the nation's capital, where it's pretty warm there sometimes, created by hot winds.
Oh, listen to you.
Yeah, you know it. gee, this is unusual. I'm looking up at the board here at the monitor. We have a first-time caller I'm going to come introduce in just a couple of moments. But we have a couple of lines open right now. So if you've been dying to get through to Charlie to ask a question or make a comment, now would be an excellent time to give a call to. And in Toronto, it's 416-360-0740. Anywhere in the province, like Ottawa, wherever else, 1-866-740-4740. And Charlie and I shall be here once again to man the calls.
We staff
the line.
I don't mean anything.
She females things. Okay, good enough. I stand corrected. I sit corrected here on the Garden Show from Zoomer Radio. Oh, God.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And as you know, we play some wonderful music here on Zoomer Radio. And there's one song, and I'm thinking of right now when I'm looking at the name of our next guest. Michael Terry recorded a song called Rosalie, Rosalie. That's who I'm singing to, Rosalie in Hamilton. First time caller.
Morning.
Hello there, Rosalie.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Excellent. Welcome.
Good. Yeah, I have a question regarding garlic. We did harvest our garlic in the backyard, but in terms of planting in that same spot next year, are we restricted as to what can be planted there? Do we need to do anything to the soil to help it?
Nope. You can just go right back in there with garlic.
Oh, in the same area?
Yeah, if you want to.
Okay.
I mean, you could do other things as well.
Okay.
But no, I'm trying to remember with the length of time. Someone I was speaking with in the last month, some of the sort of more rural people that have bigger opportunities to really grow big gardens grow acreages of garlic because garlic is it's a fairly easy crop to grow. The maintenance is very low on it other than the planting and harvesting. Mm-hmm. And somebody was, I think they were like into year 12 of planting garlic in the exact same place and they were still getting phenomenal harvests.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah,
good.
Yeah. So
the only problem we had this year was we were a little late in harvesting them because of the weather.
Mm-hmm.
So they started to separate a bit, some of them, but...
Yeah, which is a few days too late. I found my garlic was a bit small this year, too. I felt it was a slow-growing spring because of the cold soil and, you know, wet conditions.
Yeah.
But for sure, get the garlic back in before the snow flies.
Yeah, I know last year when we planted, it was cold, and then we got a warm spell. It started to grow.
I know. That happens.
Perfect. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful day, both of you.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much,
too.
And happy Thanksgiving. All the best from the gang here.
It's pretty neat, actually, when you plant a bulb, and garlic is a good example of a bulb, into a warm fall soil, in the autumn when the soil is just nice and toasty warm, it takes minutes, mere minutes, sometimes even seconds, before the roots start to grow.
No kidding, eh?
Yep, because the bulb is ready to go, right?
Yeah,
the bulb is just
needs
full
a little encouragement.
Potential. You stick it down into that nice, warm, moist soil, and it starts to grow right away.
Okay. Hey, in Toronto, there's Lewis. Good morning, and welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Is that Lewis?
Or Louis?
Come on.
Yep. No. Oh, Louise.
Lois.
Oh, Lois.
Lois. All right.
We'll figure it out.
Very good. Lois, hi.
Hi. I'm calling about my cedar hedge. Is it too late to have a cedar hedge trimmed?
Yes.
It is.
I wouldn't trim it now. You know why? Because the temperatures are just too mild. And if you do some major trimming on a cedar hedge now, you will be encouraging new growth. And the last thing we want is new growth in October. It's one thing to prune out dead stuff. If you've got dead or diseased or any part of your garden looks like it needs that kind of pruning, you can do that now. But to do actual pruning for shape, I would not do until next spring or, in the case of cedars, late spring.
The reason I had wondered about now was because I have a perennial bed in front of part of the cedar hedge, and they couldn't get into it in the summer. But early spring would be better.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Thank you, and
thanks,
you
Lois.
Too. And Lois, if it helps as well, you could, I understand, sometimes it's hard to get at the hedges because of gardens or buildings, sometimes like little greenhouses and stuff are in the way. But, you know, laying down maybe some 2x4s for the pruning mm-hmm. staff, some plywood, even newspapers, just so that they're not sinking into your moist spring soil, and you know, try and spread the weight over, because we don't want to compact the soil at the base of the cedar or near the perennials.
You've got it. Well, you see where I'm reaching.
I do.
I'm reaching toward the little
that
bell
arm
here.
Of
that's
yours.
Right. That's just for Jennifer.
Oof.
In Scarborough. Good morning, Jennifer. We're first time caller. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Jennifer.
Oh, you sounds like you're driving.
I am driving.
Okay, no worries.
It's okay, I'm hands-free.
Okay, good.
Thank you for the wings.
Oh, you're welcome. Enjoy
them.
And you keep mentioning deadheading.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean, and how do you do it?
Good question. All right, when I say deadheading, another term for that would be removing the spent blooms. So what that... So when a flower is finished flowering and it's just a dried up little bunch of brown mass of, you know, tissue that's kind of crispy, in many cases, if we remove that flower, whether it's a perennial plant, an annual plant, even a rose, when we remove the flowers that are finished or we deadhead them, we encourage more blooms or more flowers. So that's why we deadhead.
And you don't have to wait, Charlie, until it's all crispy, do you? And they're wilted.
The petals drop off, the roses. Mm-hmm. Now, honestly, interesting you would ask this question now, Jennifer, because now we really aren't doing any pruning or really, oh gosh, are we deadheading? Okay, so at this time of year, we're not really deadheading so much. We might be cleaning up the gardens because winter's coming, and some plants... like black-eyed Susans are a good example. They set seeds that scatter all over the yard, and before you know it, your whole garden has turned into black-eyed Susans because all the seeds grow next year. So sometimes we will deadhead those at this time of year. But otherwise, I don't do a lot of deadheading now. I just let things be, let the plants just hunker down for winter. Some blooms look great in the winter, like hydrangea blooms. They get all golden and crispy. They look beautiful. So I leave those alone for the winter. But deadheading during the growing season and makes a huge difference on getting more flowers. Okay.
Thank you very much.
And thanks for asking that question.
Yeah, sometimes
you...
All right, I hope those wings are handy if you're in bad traffic.
Good stuff. All righty. Jenny in Toronto, good morning and welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Excellent.
My question has to do with moisture-locked soil
mm-hmm.
or the product, I guess, that's called... soil moist, where the granules that you actually add them to soil.
Mm-hmm.
Do you use these products? Are they worth the extra money?
Okay, so remind me what. Okay, there's a couple of different ways that potting soils or soilless mixes are touted as being something that holds the moisture longer than the average. So one way that soil can be called a soil, you know, holds the moisture is they have an addition of something called core. So C-O-I-R.
Okay.
Is that one? Is that what this particular one is? I'd have to look it up.
Well, the moisture lock I have seen in stores, and it's like twice the price of potting soil.
Okay.
The other one, what I'm looking at, it's called soil moist granules, and it talks about storing water and for potting and repotting of houseplants.
Okay.
Do you know this product?
If it's a little, is it something where you think they're actually, okay, here it is, moist. Is it a Scotts product? Blue Moisture Advantage?
No, it's JRM from Cleveland, Ohio. And you add so much of this granule into the soil.
Okay. All right. So that, if it's what I think it is, the granules, like you said, it's packaged separately. It looks like a little bag probably of like white sand almost.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So that, I always that's been around for quite a long time. It's it was invented actually in Israel, and it was because each of those little granules in the presence of water will absorb the water and turn into almost like a miniature, almost a full sized ice cube, but it's not hard like an ice cube. It's like jelly, so it's clear jelly, and it's holding. It's a lot of H2O all held together in this little jelly blob, and it's quite amazing because, of course, the soil gets moist, but these little granules blow up to these jelly blobs, and then the soil slowly but surely, you know, water evaporates out of it, but there's still water available in these little jelly blobs, so it takes longer for your soil to dry out. So it's a very good product if you take holidays and you're gone for a couple of weeks or a week in the summer and you have a very sunny location or hot, windy location. So it is a way to prolong moisture levels in your pots, your container gardens. But it is never recommended to be used in gardens where we're growing edible foods. So that's one disadvantage. That sometimes I'll just dump my container, my soilless mix out of my containers into my vegetable garden just to add, you know, freshen up the pots and use the soil in with the veggies. But it is very poisonous. It's not something you would ever want to ingest. Not that the actual item is poisonous. The problem is that it absorbs water. And since we're 90% water, if some of those little granular things got into your system, your moisture, same thing, would become a bunch of little jelly blobs inside you. So if you read the fine print, if you read the fine print on the bag, it should say not for use with, edible food, edible garden products or whatever, but perfectly fine for ornamental. Yeah, and quite works well. I mean, sometimes the florists will use it too. The florists will use it in a floral bouquet, again, just as a way to maintain water. And you can color it with dyes. It's kind of cool.
Wow.
Okay. Wow. Thank you.
Yeah. I'm sitting here thinking, whoa, what a great mystery that would make. You want to bump somebody off. You dump somebody, really. And all of a sudden, they're full of jelly blobs. Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh. Nobody would know that full of jelly blobs. So you remember Kurt Vonnegut Jr.? There was a book, and there was this product called Ice Nine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's what I always refer to. It's Ice Nine. It's like this magical mystery.
Wow.
Does wild and wacky.
I'm going to have to do some research on that. Hey, Jenny, thanks very much for calling.
Yeah, good
happy
question.
Thanksgiving to you. Wow, that's kind of scary. All righty, you know what?
Our
timing here is not. Oh, we have to take another break. But before the 9 o'clock point comes along, or at least the 10 o'clock point comes along, we're going to deal with a couple of emails that you've been sent. Okay, maybe we'll do that right after we come back, and then we'll talk to Peter in Southampton.
Okay.
You're listening to The Garden Show from Zoomer Radio, AM 740, 96.7 FM in downtown Toronto, as we broadcast live and direct from the Zoomerplex in Liberty Village.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
You know, a lot of times folks like to send a question to you via your email, so let me just get that on the air. Charlie Dobbin's email goes this way, c.dobbin, that's D-O-B-B-I-N, at mzmedia.com. And the reason sometimes folks want to contact you, Charlie, is because they're maybe a little bit too shy to come on the air. That's the case with this next email you have.
Well, no, there's a different one for
that. Oh, is it? Oh, okay.
David McClellan. We'll get to him in a second. For now, let's talk about Judy Butler, who wrote in from Woodville, Ontario. She indicates that she listens as much as she can to the show, but hadn't heard of this problem yet. She has an orange substance on her lawn. We did get actually one call about this, and I have seen this in the past, though not this year on my lawn. I'm not surprised. If you're wearing white shoes or white soles on your shoes or white whatever flip-flops, and you walk across your lawn, and then you realize that your white soles are bright orange.
Yeah, rust.
What is that? It is. It's rust. It is a fungal disease on the lawn. Now, Judy has recognized that that's what she's got. She did Google it. She figures she's got the rust fungus. She also has a large yard, about a half an acre, and she lives in the country. So she's wondering about the surrounding fields and it spreading. Number one, don't worry about it spreading to surrounding fields. This is a very environmental problem. It's totally based on the conditions that we had this past summer and, summer
wetness
and fall. High humidity. Lots of moisture, warm temperatures, fungal diseases have been very happy and thriving. So the rust you're seeing is just basically because of the kind of season we've been having. What to do to try and lower the rust levels on your lawn and also, like you said, lower the number of spores that might spread around the neighborhood. Mow frequently. I know a half acre is a lot to mow frequently, but don't let it get long. Like mow to the correct 2.5 to 3 inches high, but stay on top of that. Rake. Now, I know, again, big lawn like that, how hard it is to rake, but I'm not sure how you're set up, whether you've got a driving mower and maybe you've got some kind of a dethatching rake you can drive behind the haul behind the mower, and that just to keep
comb
the,
through.
Yeah, keep the dead stuff combed up. Keep the life in the soil as alive as possible. So that's all the microorganisms, the worms, etc. The more alive they are, the more they'll chew up the dead grass, which is the thatch. They'll also utilize and be able to access moisture and fertilizer that you are going to add. Fall fertilizer for sure. It's the most important for lawn fertilizer of the entire year is the fall fertilizer. So in terms of your big lawn, again, I'm sure you've had this issue before, but make sure that the fall fertilizer goes on, and it could go on any time. Like today is optimal if you want to get out there with a fall, not a spring fertilizer. It'll stay right on it. Fall fertilizer on the bag. That's what you want.
Okay. Good stuff. All right. Let's go have a word with Peter, who's calling in from Southampton. Good morning, Peter. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Morning.
Thank you for taking my call. First of all, happy Thanksgiving to you both.
Thank you.
Now, all summer I've listened to people call in about their hostas being eaten and whatnot, poor shape. Well, 3 years ago I went to a hosta farm, and I asked the lady how she kept her hostas in such good shape. And she had a formula that she sprayed every 2 or 3 weeks, and it was 1 part ammonia and 10 parts water.
Oh, yeah.
And I have used that quite regularly on my hostas, and it really works, and it keeps them healthy looking.
So, and that's spraying on the leaves of the plants and the soil specifically? Like early in the spring, I've heard of people like spraying the soil.
When they first start coming up, I spray the solution on the plants, on the ground.
Yeah, as they're emerging. Okay.
And then after 2 or 3 weeks, I do the whole thing, foliage and ground.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, because the slugs and snails overwinter in the soil, typically right around the hostas. So those little nests all hatch in the spring, and I know the ammonia can really slow them down. Well, good to know.
Hey, nice little tip there. We appreciate that.
Yeah, so even with all the rain, you were still only spraying every 10 days or 2 weeks or so?
Yes.
You didn't increase your spraying?
No. And I also use it on my other plants, like the colas and stuff, and it works well on that, too.
Good stuff. I love the tip. Thank you very much.
Excellent, Peter.
I have some advice for Frank.
Okay.
At the first of the show, you were talking about all your Thanksgiving Day dinners.
Yes, that's right.
Well, here is some advice I have for you.
Okay.
Too much turkey, you can't soar with the eagles.
Ain't it the truth?
Okay.
Thank you, Peter.
And Frank, he likes to soar with the eagles.
Yes. I wind up with the turkeys all the time, it seems. Oh, well. Except for Charlie Dobbin, of course. Maybe we can squeeze one more email in here just before we have to take a little bit of a break. Then we've got Sheila and Catherine on the line. We'll get to those momentarily.
All right.
Your email question?
Okay, so David McClelland writes that they enjoy the program. They listen through the internet in the north from Bruce Mines. They have a very moderate climate as they're on the water, the north channel of Lake Huron. Beautiful honeysuckle vine growing on an arbor. The vine is in the sun about 6 hours and protected from any wind. However, this year it looks stunted. Many leaves are curling, black soot, and the flowers, which are fewer than ever, are not fully developed. Wondering, should I cut it back to about 18 inches this fall and hope for better next year? And he was a little shy to call. So I hope you're listening, David, on the internet. Good for you. Thank you very much. We appreciate people listening from all over the world, across the universe. You're exactly right. Your honeysuckle, what's going on is you had aphids on your honeysuckle. So you'd have to look at the growing tips. You won't probably see them now because it's cool and the aphids have hunkered down for winter. But back when this was really happening in June, July, and August, you would have seen small insects on the growing tips of the honeysuckle, sucking the juices, that nice sweet honey that comes out of the honeysuckle, and then pooping out all this sticky stuff. Now, the black that you saw, that black soot, was something called sooty mold that was growing on the sticky stuff that was coming out of the aphids. So, bottom line, if we can control the aphids, we'll end up controlling the sooty mold.
Right, yeah.
Now, how do you control the aphids? Well, as soon as you see that curling, stunted tip growth, and you, prior to seeing the black sooty stuff, you would be spraying with a soap and water solution, so a 40 to 1 soap
and that coats their little bodies, right?
And kills mm-hmm. them. Or you would just go to, if you have a place nearby, you could pick up something like Bug Be Gone or Safer Soap, or you can mm-hmm. order it online. But follow the instructions in terms of spraying to kill the aphids. For this fall, you could, yeah, nothing wrong with cutting the pole plant down to about 18 inches before winter. Next spring, take a look. You may even want to cut down a little lower in the spring just to encourage more bushiness from the honeysuckle plant. And yeah, good for you. I stay on top of it, though. Keep looking. Watch next June and July for those little aphids to show up again, because they do love honeysuckle.
Okay. We're going to be back in just moments to say hi to Sheila in Toronto here on The Garden Show from Zoomer Radio.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, Charlie, let's welcome Sheila from Toronto to the line. Good morning, Sheila.
Good morning, Frank, and good morning, Charlie.
Good morning.
My question, I have a creeping, or whatever you call
climbing.
It, hydrangea.
Yeah, climbing hydrangea, yeah.
That's on the back of my garage mm-hmm. wall, mm-hmm. and it's, I think it gets west mm-hmm. exposure.
Okay.
I've had it for about 10 years. I had beautiful blooms the first couple of years. Not anymore. It's
okay.
Going crazy, and the leaves are kind of crinkly.
Mm.
They don't look healthy at all. So what's my solution, please?
I wish I could come up with a real simple solution on that. Okay, climbing hydrangea, it was when you said it wasn't blooming, I thought that's not that unusual because they do take a few years to start blooming.
It did bloom the first couple
but,
of years.
Yeah, it's been there 10 years and it's growing like mm-hmm. crazy. Do you fertilize it at all?
Yeah, I do fertilize it, but I'm fertilizing the rest of my garden.
Right, so
but
just...
Now I've started using those spikes. No?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the spikes.
Okay.
Well, it's just because it's a lot of fertilizer in one spot, and it's very easy to over-fertilize, which might be why the leaves look a bit odd. So what I would do is...
I only did it once.
Right, absolutely. You because it slowly dissolves and percolates out mm-hmm. All season. So, yes, you never use the spikes more than once.
Okay.
I agree all garden plants should be fertilized in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a really big fan of granular fertilizer, where we kind of scatter, like we're feeding the chickens, scatter on the surface of the soil,
mm-hmm.
and that lasts for a good 6, 7, 8 weeks, which
yeah.
is good enough for most of our plants. Obviously, amending with compost, making sure the soil is good quality, is important as well. If you've still got leaves on the climbing hydrangea, and you want
to yes, I do.
Take a photograph and send that to me, I'd be better able to maybe try and diagnose
okay.
what's going on. Because the leaves should be fine, the flowers should be there. Western locations, totally good. 10 years in one location, it definitely is mature enough to be blooming.
It's pretty mature, and it's spread.
Yeah.
I've had to really cut it back because covers the whole back of the
well,
garage.
There's that too. You've got to be careful you're not pruning at the wrong time and pruning where the flowers are trying to grow. Send me a photo of some of the leaves, and then we'll go from there.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you,
Sheila.
Okay.
Golly, I'm looking at the clock. I'm woohoo, he's cranking down here. Let's quickly get
where
my arm in action here. Hey, that's for Catherine, first-time caller from Pickering. Good morning, Catherine.
Good morning. The question I have is it safe to prune a fully grown, fully mature maple tree at this time of year?
It would be even safer if you waited a month or so.
Okay.
And the reason I say that is just because it's so warm. To prune a dormant maple tree, as in, November, December, not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
We avoid pruning maples in the spring because they drip sap all over the place.
Right.
So no question, pruning a maple late in the fall is ideal.
Optimally.
But look, it's, 25 degrees.
Yeah.
So I'm afraid that if you do a bunch of pruning now, you're going to force new growth. And that's exactly what you don't want to do. So you want it a little more dormant before you do any pruning.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks, Catherine, for joining us here on a Saturday morning as we...
Don't be a stranger.
Exactly.
Yeah, coffee's always on,
just
right?
Just a little bit to the west there and around the London, Ontario, actually. Well, not quite as far as London. Woodstock, there's Tom. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi, Charlie. Hi, Frank.
How you doing?
What's going on?
I've been working on the grass, and everything's been fine, but now I find I've got creeping Charlie coming in from, seems, different sizes, places. Mm. It's in my front lawn, which it's never been before. How's the best way to get rid of it?
Oh, I wish there was an easy answer to that. Obviously, one way to get rid of it is getting down on your hands and knees and pulling it. Yeah, which is obviously
it travels too like crazy.
I know, yeah. and the problem is once it flowers, which of course it probably is now if it didn't already, a lot of seeds get dispersed, and then there's even more. So that one way, of course, would be with the pulling. But if you've got a big yard and a lot of this stuff coming in all over the place, it's a lot of work. There are. You know, what's it called? Like, there's some herbicides out there that are supposed, like, designed to kill things like Creeping Charlie. Mm-hmm. But you got to realize that the older, more mature, more established the weed is, the harder it is to kill it. So
right.
Now probably wouldn't be the optimal time to try and do any spraying on the Creeping Charlie. Unless it's currently flowering, then it is worth trying to get rid of it. Spring is optimal because the plants are so young and they're so tender and so soft that it's the time when a herbicide is more likely to work. So even Roundup, of course, is out there, but Roundup would kill your lawn as well.
Yeah,
I mean it works, but it will kill your lawn as well.
Have you got a big lawn, Tom, that we're talking about here?
No, just a regular city lot.
I was just wondering about the ground, you know, plastic kill. I know it kills
kill
everything,
lawn,
but it'll kill that stuff.
Yeah.
And you just have to resod or reseed.
But if it's
maybe.
A regular, I mean, you know, Thanksgiving is going to be a nice day tomorrow. If you've got family coming for dinner, I'd hand them all a screwdriver and some newspaper to sit on and put them to work while you run back and forth and fill their wine glasses. That's what I would do.
Hey, what a good idea.
Put them to work. That's what I do. I used to do when my parents were a little younger. Everybody, as they got out of their cars, they hand them a rake at this time of year. Hello, welcome to my house. Here's your rake. You want a pair of gloves? I have gloves.
So there you go, Tom. You've got
work.
Your work cut out for you or for others in your family for this Thanksgiving weekend.
I know.
We got to wrap things up here,
we
my gosh.
We do.
Look at that.
And I got to go home and bake some pies and
pick
up a turkey.
Yeah, but we're heading to High Park.
Of course.
And wouldn't you know, it's my turn to buy.
Steak and eggs.
Charlie didn't have breakfast this morning before she left.
I slept in.
So I know that I'm going to be handed a big bill.
Double steak and eggs for me.
Steak and eggs, huh?
Maybe a martini on the side. I'm kidding. There's no alcohol in High Park as per the deed when it was donated to the city. So thank you. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Enjoy your extra long weekend day off. And, of course, Frank, you'll be here working.
Yes, I will. Monday I'll be on the air from 1 through 6.
All right. Well, good luck with that. Thanks, Sebastian. Thanks to all the great callers. See you again next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.